Welcome to Strange Tales from Outer Space!
Number 10!
Number 10!
Double digits! Because I'm happy. Okay, sorry.
If you haven't noticed by now, we like to aim low. Right. That way we always meet our expectations.
Yes. How's that aiming low? That's a good milestone to be excited about. Double digits.
I was excited at 2. I'm just saying.
See? Baby steps. We actually have a consistency, and then we aim for double digits.
All right, ready? Next goal, 11.
I mean, there's going to be an 11 for myself and Doc, but...
Yeah, we didn't want to tell you now, but we're going to replace you with somebody.
This was probably not the greatest time to tell me that.
it's not you.
It's but it just is you. How bad you are.
It's not you, but it is you. It's not you. It's just that you bring nothing to the table. Okay. Well, I guess that since I'm going to be removed from the podcast, I'm just gonna go. All right. Bye.
He actually left.
He left the call. Wait. Get him back.
I'm here.
I was like, shit, you gotta stall for time. What do we do? Okay. As always, we are the crew from Strange Tales of Outer Space, and every week we sit around, well, two of us apparently, we sit around and tell you what happened in the week that was and maybe a week that will be. My name is Doc. With me I have Indigo.
Hello.
And Krug.
Hey, I'm Krug.
And always, we like to find out how we were doing this week. So, Indigo, how was your week?
So, this week, since I told you guys last week that I started working on my rep, well, I finally hit it.
Yay.
So, I'm finally on to the next tier. Yes, yes, yes. And so, you know, I've used your guys' help to get me through some adventures, to get me some silver adventure runs.
You're welcome.
But the craziest thing is I tank as a stalker, and the last two, I believe it was the adventure and the last dungeon that we just did, I was number one in heals as a tank.
Seriously?
Yeah. Do you know who was healing?
Nobody, apparently.
Yep.
That's good. I will point out that for the first, like, three missions, I was doing DPS because, first of all, nobody was taking any fucking damage, so why would I heal? May as well contribute to the output of the deeps. And second of all, Doc's computer decided that it didn't want to play, so it just crashed, leaving us, like, one DPS short for the first,
like,
half of the
fucking
adventure.
And the best part is, I still pulled in two and number one in damage both times.
Yeah, good job. Good job, buddy.
Isn't that awesome?
And just going to throw this out there, that was the adventure, not the dungeon.
When it was even better, I pulled number three in heals on both those adventure dungeon runs.
How? What do you gain heals from?
I have a healing gadget. It just heals me for like 2K.
That would make sense. Yeah, people don't normally heal themselves. I don't know why, but I've noticed it as a medic. Even if people are like really about to die, and I know you have at least one pot, they're just like, I'm just going to keep deepsing. And you're like, oh, fuck it. I have to get over there and heal them. You grumbly little DPS. Okay, never mind.
Someone needs to make an add-on where it's just the heavy from Team Fortress 2 just macroed into Wildstar. Medic. Just to piss them off. Be great. I loved it.
I actually kind of liked that in Team Fortress 2, and I think I would like it in Wildstar, but I have health bars, and I know that if you implement that macro, people are just going to spam the shit out of it, and it's going to get really annoying.
Well, apparently, someone's doing their job, so the tank got number one in heals.
Look, you guys didn't die unless you were being stupid. Not my fault. Not once was there a death that was like, oh man, that was totally my bad. And I'm totally the first to admit when it was my bad. I was doing my job. Y'all can go fuck yourselves.
Not good enough. You've been replaced.
I will point out that the one pug DPS that we had at one point in that run said, wow, Krug, do you have an add-on that automatically turns you to face the person with the lowest health? And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And then I wrote in chat, nope, just a baller. And it was really funny. So I'm not shitty. And you all can go fuck yourselves.
So now that we're done talking about the awesome week, how was your week, Krug?
My week was great up until I started playing video games with you guys. I mean, that's pretty much it. No, my week was pretty good. Nothing really milestone-y happened in game. I just been leveling Mesmo, been helping Indigo get to the same attunement level that I am, so he could finally help me with dungeons. Not there yet, but we're getting there slowly. Getting back into doing dailies, which I haven't done in a long time. I forgot how very lucrative they were and how fun open world PvP is. Oh my god, I love it so much. And something slightly off topic, but not really. I've been having a lot of interesting conversations on the Twitter that we have for the podcast. Ooh. And I just wanted to let everyone know that if you want to have a chat with me while I'm at work and really bored, come follow our Twitter. We are at Strange Tales, and it would be really awesome to chat with anyone. So, yeah, come do that.
Yeah, I actually keep a track on the Twitter once, like every few times out the day, and I see sometimes the interactions like, this is really cool. I'm bad at keeping up with stuff like that, so I'm glad somebody is.
And it's really funny, like, cause Indigo and I usually work, like, right next to each other in our office building, and he'll, like, walk out of his office and be like, what are all these emails? And I'm like, oh, they're Twitter messages and mentions and stuff. And he's like, oh, okay.
So wait,
and he just walks away.
So let me get this straight. Instead of doing the job you're supposed to do, you're doing something else and not contributing to the group, as in the game and in real life.
I'm sorry. I also do my job at work, and I do it very fucking well, thank you very much. But, as Indigo will attest, there are very, very stressful times at work, and there are very, very calm times at work. And when you have those very, very calm times, you take advantage of them when you can, because they are few and far in between.
It's very true.
Yeah, no, the way our job works is it's literally like, so, and that wasn't sex noise, by the way.
Is that what you sound like? I don't even want to know. Don't answer that question.
Oh, yeah. Don't continue this. We can only go so far with the swearing we occasionally do. Last thing we need to know is, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. Did you get a chance to say how your week was, buddy?
Me?
Doc? Yes, you.
No. My week's been really hectic. I started a new job last week, and it's just like what Krug was saying. You get moments of nothing to do, you're good to go, you're going to chill out, and all of a sudden your inbox just gets flooded with, I don't know how to install a program. You're not supposed to. I don't know how this thing is working. You turn it off. I don't know why they did it.
Doc got a job in IT, and he didn't know what to expect from his day-to-day like workflow. And so he asked me, because my job involves some kind of IT as well. And I just told him, dude, most of the time that you're going to be working, you're just going to be helping people like, delete files or like, how do I export this Word document as a PDF? Like 90% of the time. And then something explodes and you have to deal with something that exploded. But other than that,
he was pretty much right. You were pretty much right on that. The only weird thing is that it's so sporadic that I don't really get much time to play at work, which is actually probably a good thing.
Which is normal. You're now a normal person. Okay. No! Don't complain about it.
Well, that I was working, and then I've been moving around family all week. I haven't had much time to get online at all. I mean, this whole weekend was kind of crazy, and I found out the Legend of Korra marathon. So I was like, "Yes, Legend of Korra," and I'll leave it at that. And and yet I still was able to come on once in a while. My computer hates me, but we've already established all this before. That was mostly my week. Oh no! Super Time Force came out free for Xbox Gold this week. And yes, I have an Xbox, blah, blah, blah. But Super Time Force is really fun.
Don't know what you're talking about. Don't even know a little bit.
Think of it like if Back to the Future, Contra, and Lemmings had a baby.
I only know what two of those things are.
Lemmings and Contra?
Contra and Back to the Future. How would I not know what Back to the Future is?
You only said two out of three. I can only guess.
What's Lemmings?
Lemmings was a game. Okay, children, let's go to ancient gaming. Lemmings was a game back in the 90s where you were building essentially a bridge from point A to point B with a bunch of tools. The catch was you had a bunch of lemmings who just randomly started walking in that one direction.
Oh. And they would kill themselves
because they're lemmings and dumb. Yeah.
Right.
And you had to make sure they didn't die.
Yes.
So think of it like that. Multiple roving lives, but blowing shit up at the same time. Super fun game. And it's
good times.
Yeah. But that's my week. Pretty much it. Super exciting.
Not really.
No.
Yay. Your life
sucks. Dead space. But luckily, in the realm of WildStar, it's a pretty busy week this last week, and we're going to get into some of the strange tales, because there are some strange goings-on in this world. First of which, because of the exploitations going on in arenas, and the people that were tanking their ratings, the ratings for PvP for arenas and battlegrounds are going to be reset with drop 3.
Woo-hoo. Super excited, yet kind of frightened by that at the same time.
I gotta agree, too, because the exciting part is you're gonna all be on a level playing field. The bad part is if you have the gear from tanking your rating or you really are just that good, you're gonna rise real fast and it's gonna hurt for everyone else that you're stepping on the way up.
Yeah, but something I mean is that your losses are going to mean significantly less. So every time you lose, instead of losing like 10, 20, 30 points on your rating, it's going to be it's a different curve. They haven't really released the schematics of how the rating loss is going to work. It's not like 1-to-1 anymore. So I'm intrigued to see how that works.
Yeah, it's a modification to the ELO formula, so we're still using ELO as everyone else does right now. It's currently the standard in online gaming, as it always has been for years, but they are modifying it a little to make it a little less demanding and grueling and a little easier for people to climb up and be able to, through good luck and skill, get the gear to be competitive. So expect a few weeks after drop 3 finally drops of getting a little roughed up in RBGs and arenas, but if you're good, it's going to be a fun challenge. If you're not as skilled or you're having some trouble, this is a good time to sharpen those skills, because you're going to go through the gauntlet of all sorts of skill sets. But it's not a new season, so keep that in mind. We're not starting the PvP season. It's just a reset to get rid of the exploitations.
Right.
And another strange tale. This one's actually pretty interesting, I thought, and everyone else thought too, because Reddit slightly exploded, was a gaffer stepped down. And for a very good reason, I thought. A few good reasons. And we're going to put the link in the description, like always. I've honestly gone through the mantra of, you know, you have to think of yourself first no matter what. You can work for other people and help them out and be good to each other. But it's your life. And at the end of the day, you have to be comfortable with the choices you make and what you do to keep yourself happy and healthy and alive. And Gaffer said, hey, you know, we got through launch and I've loved the transparency of it. That's my policy. Sometimes I believe transparent.
I believe he said, I have a no bullshit agreement, yeah. I believe is what he said.
Yeah.
No bullshit policy, yeah.
And it's worked out really well. I mean, this is a level of transparency and openness that not many games have with their community, and for better or for worse. And I like to think for the better, but I'm the eternal realistic optimist. But he did explain part of it was just the stress of getting ready for launch. He had family issues throughout the development of the game that took its toll on himself and his family. And the kicker was he was diagnosed with skin cancer without looking at it for 9 months. And he does admit that he kind of let it slide to the point where it couldn't be ignored, but a procedure happened and he's currently cancer free, which is phenomenal and awesome.
No, I think this is as a whole is really awesome. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase this. I think that him being so honest about this situation is what's really awesome, because I think him stepping down and giving the traditional, oh, I'm doing it for personal reasons, could have significantly hurt the community. But I think this kind of drew it together, and correct me if you guys think differently, but everyone's like, yeah, dude, seriously, do it. You got to take care of yourself. You know, I don't think anyone would have said, oh, there he's doing it for X, Y, real reasons. And everyone's like, well, he's been full out honest. Yeah, there's nothing really we can say about it.
It also
I've maybe seen like two posts saying like, oh, this is a horrible thing and blah, blah, blah. But they're immediately just like slapped down by the rest of the people that are in whatever thread they're posting in. Just you're literally the dumbest person. You stop saying that. This is beyond this is beyond your gaming needs. This is something completely different.
Yeah,
this isn't a time to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they were either trying to get him on the spot on something that wasn't pertaining to the discussion at hand, or they were assholes that were just like, oh, well, I hope cancer kills you. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. I saw one post like that, and I was just like, oh, my God, I hope you get banned from everything forever. I don't understand how you even, like, even if you think it's a joke, that's still way over every line. I can't even imagine writing something like that. You're ridiculous.
Yeah, some of them are made to get a rise. It's still in ill form. Honestly, I gotta agree that it's probably for the best, and it didn't create a bunch of issues. That you're right, he was pretty open about it. But also, despite any stumblings that Carbine and Gaffer had during development and the launch, they were still really pretty open with the community. And the community, as vitriol as it has been or can be, was in their subconscious collectively grateful for this openness that hopefully will continue, which sounds like it will. So they're a little more.
I don't see it going away.
Yeah. So it was more like, okay, Gaffer did a lot for the community for this game to start it off. Now that he needs to take, because dude, running a game company, even if you're in perfect health, from what I hear, is just a monstrous undertaking that can make anyone turn gray within months. And he did it while knowing he had cancer for 9-10 months. Well, didn't, and then he did know.
Right.
And still able to keep it going.
From what I understand, he's not stopping all association with Carbine. He's still going to be working for them. He's just stepping down from his leadership position. Yeah,
he'll be consulting, but also outside of Carbine as well. So you'll still see him
around
the gaming sphere. He's just stepping down as the de facto head. So
in all seriousness, I hope that everything with him goes very well, and that smiles and happiness come to him and his.
Do we like kiss the bald head on the way out? He's bald, right?
I don't think he's bald, dude.
It wasn't a cancer joke. I thought he was bald. I thought I saw a video of him.
Oh my god!
Because people were like, "That's a cancer joke." You're a horrible person. Like, no, nope. I swear to God, no, I thought he was
pretty
bald.
Pretty sure he has hair.
Somebody else then.
No one went there but you.
My head didn't even go there.
Well, I know some of you listen to this and go, "You said bald it, joke I was cancer, like, oh. You fucker!" Like, no, it's not what I meant. I thought he was. Yeah. Anyway. Gaffer, if someone ever ends up passing this along to you, I hope you have a good laugh at that expense of my stupidity. And I don't know if I can speak for Krug and Indigo, but I'm pretty sure I do. Strange Tales wishes you the best of luck and whatever you do, and hopefully we see you around here. And they're popping in on the Reddit forums and the game forums, and thanks for help giving us this awesome game.
Yeah, yep. Make more for me, please. Thank you.
Yeah, make more for Krug. He needs it.
Yeah. He just needs help with the game in general. But
can you give me some plat?
wait. If he's leaving, can I get his materials?
Obligatory. Can I have your stuff post?
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, Gaffer stepping down. Wish you the best of luck, sir. That's not all that's happened this week. It's also a ton of kind of a ton of update notes. There's a lot of it. Well, I say that because there were a lot of redactions in the update notes saying, hey, this was going to happen. And then they struck it out and said, hey, currently not fixed, under investigation, or it's not working as intended. There's a few really cool things like, say, hey, trigger fingers, everyone's complaining about it. Too bad we're not upping the drop, but we're going to resolve an issue because it's actually pulling down more than we want it to, or less than we want it
to. More.
Yeah, more.
It was cooling down abilities more than they intended it to, which is great. I think that ability is super OP compared to the medic cooldown reduction amp, which is shitty. So shitty. It's like whenever you get interrupted, or whenever one of your casts is interrupted, reduce your active cooldowns by 1 second. It's the worst.
Yeah.
The worst.
And honestly, how often do you get interrupted unless you're in PvP? And even then, you're dead before you get back on your feet.
Yeah, if you're getting interrupted enough for that to be useful, you're dead.
Yeah. Or you're just not paying attention.
Well, no one has yet to explain to me why trigger figures has got such a low rate of drop while there isn't that across the board with every single class.
Well, that's just random numbers, Sometimes it just out of all of the known amps that will affect cooldowns, this one is by far the most rare. If you also throw into the fact that although it's not by much, Spellslinger is still the most popular class in the game, the amount of players looking for that amp combined with its random drop rareness created just a massive market for it.
It's not just its rarity, it's its rarity relative to its demand. Like, that amp was more in demand than any other amp, if I were to be so bold as to say something that general, because it's so fucking OP. It's a really good amp.
Yeah, I noticed it like the first 2 days I had it. Like, it made my rotations faster, I was killing quicker, and I was like, this is really good as long as you kept doing it with quick draw. But now they're saying, hey, we're noticing that it's not doing what's supposed to be doing, we're going to fix that and update that in the notes. And I think it actually did go through and works pretty well. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that are a lot of just bug fixes and adjustments of items. But honestly, it's not as much as you would think it would be this week.
Well, there's some really important stuff, though, like some really sweeping changes. The assault power and support power changes.
Oh yeah, but that's also tied up with the talks about classes being changed.
Yeah.
This is, the update notes are a little differently.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is the weapon stats have been normalized. So, for example, a weapon that a heavy armor wearer would use, like an engineer's rifle, and medium armor, like a medic's resonators, or a light armor, like an Esper's Psyblade, all now give relative same amounts of assault and support power. So, like, the level 10 item across the board will give the same assault and support power. It's not going to be that all the heavy guns for engineers give less than the Esper Psyblades. So that's kind of, like, a huge change. The way that all these calculations are being done, I'm assuming, are getting, like, revamped completely. And then a similar change is happening with the amount of assault power and support power gained through primary attributes is changing throughout all classes as well so that it's standard. And this is, I think, like, in an effort to make things easier to balance, I guess, is what I would say. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, there's been a weird little thing with MMOs is people like to min-max. They like to find out what is the strongest and the best. Those people will always pick things that even if they don't like, if it gives them an edge competitively or personally. So, like, there's a kind of a reason why these newer brands of MMOs have homogenized races. Just making them just aesthetically different, because stuff like WoW, you would have the old Will of Forsaken, which made you immune to certain effects, or the humans had a reputation bonus that let them grind the rep stuff easier and faster than everybody else. WildStar just said, you know what, everyone's virtually the same, hitboxes are pretty much the same, and that just made your ability gains different, and now they realize that it's not working as much as well as they would hope. So what they're going to normalize is weapon stats, like you said, and assault power and support power, and now make the differences in how you customize your character.
So I get that, and I completely understand that aspect of it, but my issue is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my experience with MMOs is that light-wearing armor people can't take as much damage, so they in turn deal more damage, while heavy wearing people don't do as much damage, but they can take significantly more. And
yeah, but you don't have
in the middle.
But you don't have to balance that in the items. You can balance that in the abilities. You don't have to do it in the items. And I think that the fact that they had like two variables instead of one, they had have the ability to change this, like scale this way with the tiers, and then we're going to have the item scale this way because it's this class that wears this type of armor. I think having all those variables made it complicated. So now they're just setting one of the variables as static, like, okay, all of the items are going to be the same across all the classes, and the stats are going to be, you know, relatively easy to manage. And then we'll do all the balancing on the ability side or on the amp side. Like, they're just removing an unnecessary variable, because that's honestly what makes it complicated.
I get it, that makes sense.
I mean they have six classes to deal with. Yeah. Two variables per six classes, and they're obviously variables I'm not thinking of because I'm not a game developer.
Well, actually, what I kind of saw what Indigo was saying was in the fact that now you've normalized essentially the gains you get. So it was supposed to be, yeah, you're right, you trade off your armor and survivability for damage, generally speaking, and so lighter armor, more damage, heavier armor, more survivability. Now that your general gain or general attributes through weapons and abilities are the same, you've kind of leveled this ramp that's natural to MMOs and character creation. So now,
well,
that
not really. I mean, let's look at medics who are medium armor and espers that are light armor. They both have the same set of gear and has the same set of attributes for each character. Mm-hmm. So theoretically they should be the same, but the medic using its healing builder, which is a mission, and the Esper using its healing builder, which is like mind over body or something like that, they could heal completely differently, because the Esper's is based saying that, like, okay, you get 150% of your support power in heals, and the medic says, okay, you get 110% of your support power in heals. So there's still that, like, difference in output. It's just not done with the items.
True. And I don't see it being much of a problem with support power and healing and tanking as I do see it with damage. Now,
if... But the same thing applies. Like, a stalker doing damage versus a spellslinger doing damage, they could ramp differently per ability just by the percentage of assault power it uses.
Yeah, true. But
support power.
But if you don't put abilities into the picture right now, this is all hypothetical. No one's actually going to just sit there and auto-attack a creature. You now are essentially saying... I could be wrong, but an engineer or a warrior is now doing the same damage to a Spellslinger. That Spellslinger is going back to the Warrior, but because the Warrior now has heavier armor, the Spellslinger is doing less damage because of the damage reduction.
But like I said, it doesn't. The scaling can be done in the abilities.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you're just going to sit there and auto attack. All the abilities pull their information off of their support and assault power, and they use percentages to figure out how much damage or healing or whatever to do, how much threat to generate.
I totally get it.
But then
why
aren't we normalizing armor as well? I mean, because if that's the case, if you normalize armor across the board, then you're the only thing that they really need to look at is the amps and the abilities. But that doesn't make sense. Like, that's not an MMO. That's not
so.
The game
how do you scale damage mitigation without armor?
That's what I'm saying. Is there's that no. You just turn around and don't give more armor to heavy. You just say across the board, the same tier cloth as the same tier heavy armor are going to have the same armor amount.
But no. That defeats the purpose. So what I'm saying is just because an engineer and an Esper have the same assault power, it doesn't mean they're doing the same amount of damage.
Because that's true. The engineer will take less damage because of his higher armor.
No, what I'm saying is the Esper can still do more damage because its abilities can say you're doing 200% of your assault power in damage, while the Engineer can say you're doing 100% of your assault power in damage.
Oh, no, I get that, but it seems odd because typically when you're designing a game, there's a trade-off of damage for survivability. And I'm not saying it's bad, it's just odd to me that they would normalize weapons and assault power gains, but not touch defense.
The trade-off is still there. Like, you still have, okay, so the engineer is one of the only two classes that can use heavy armor. It's not going to use light armor because why? There's no gain from doing that. As a matter of fact, before there was a gain from doing that because theoretically the light armor could have more assault power, support power than the heavy armor equivalent because there was less defense on that piece, and that's how they did it before. Now it's just, okay, Engineer, you have to take your heavy armor because there's no gain from doing the light armor. And since you are going to be taking your heavy armor, we're going to be like reducing the amount of damage your abilities do because you are using heavy armor.
Okay.
But why wouldn't you just do that on the amp side or on the ability side and say this character does physically less damage?
I mean, it's just a choice at that point. Do we want to balance to gear? Do we want to balance the, like, it two variables? And they just wanted to remove one, I think, and they chose to remove the item variable.
Yeah,
like, I think their goal was to get to one variable out of those two. They wanted to get to one, and they were like, okay, we can either make all the like abilities the same, which I think is much harder because they have like secondary effects that kind of like make them a little harder to balance than gear, which is just we're going to add to your stats. That's not all abilities do. Abilities affect other characters, abilities affect yourself, abilities affect enemies and allies. It's really hard to balance that stuff. But the items just affect you and they only affect your stats.
Okay, well,
so it's really easy to just say these are normal.
Wait up. At this point, we're kind of running in a circle. It was just like Indigo and I were just saying it's an odd choice what they're doing. Not bad, just odd because of the way we were used to playing these kinds of games and the way they balanced them. You're actually really right. Even if it had been normalized, skills and amps and items are going to make all the difference. That's what I'm saying. We're just pointing out to us as certain kinds of players, it just seems odd. So I really want to see how this plays out in the upcoming month or 2 months, 3 months. And this is all for the August updates. The class leads are telling everybody, hey, we're going to make this change. You want to see how this works and how it affects the classes. So as players, you know, we can keep a sharp eye and see if this is a good change or a beneficial change to the game more accurately.
So, I'd be really interested in hearing from the community as to whether or not they find this odd, because coming from someone who doesn't have any MMO experience, this change seems like really smart to me and not odd at all. So I want to know if this is like something that other people are confused about, or if more people see this as a normal change than just me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. Maybe we're just thinking of an older style of playing these games, the way they designed it. We're also not game designers. So it's just what we've always noticed. I mean,
sure.
Going back to EQ, a paladin did crap damage, but he would take a hit that would destroy a magician. And a magician would deal a crap load of damage, but you sneeze on him and he's like, ah!
Yeah, and right. if we go into the next note, which is assault power gained through primary attributes and milestones are normalized across the classes. The fact that primary DPS stats now grant 0.6 AP, and AP milestones will now grant 24.4 AP. Like, the fact that that's now normalized as well, it is really what's confusing me, because that means that no matter if you're heavy armor or light, the fact that everyone's assault power is getting its bonus at the same point for the same quantity, it's literally down to just the amps and just the abilities, which means gear means significantly less. Or actually, no, gear means significantly more. The fact that you have to have your armor with high DPS to be able to output enough DPS to go over your heavy armor.
Which also right. was kind of odd, because I was under the assumption going into the game that they didn't want to make it this kind of a thing where it always was about the gear. You were gear dependent to do the most DPS. So it's odd to me.
I just want to make this abundantly clear. I still think that this makes total sense. I don't think this makes anything gear dependent. I don't think this makes anything strange. I don't think this really changes anything aside from balancing is now going to be done on the ability side versus the item side.
Okay. Well, luckily on the classes, there's more to it than just the normalization. All of these updates are with the assumption that normalization is going to happen. So for engineers, on the bright side, anything that has a self-snare is going to be gone. If it gave you a self-snare because that's what they lacked, they had the least of mobility, you're now slightly mobile now.
A self-snare?
Yeah.
Engineers would snare themselves?
Well, their trade-off was they would do range damage, like kind of like a mid-range damage, but they had no mobility. So for tanks, you know, you're going to pretty much sit there in one spot and just tank. But
oh, you mean like their battle suit thing that slows you down?
I believe so, yes. Anything that has a self-snare is now gone.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
And you're supposed to have better bot AI. Yay?
Oh.
I
like the note. It says in our show notes, better bot AI, .. All I keep thinking of is other NGs asking why people still use bots, ..
I keep hearing it all the time. Engineers saying, you don't actually need bots. We have them now for the point of it. But, well, if the AI is better, is it worth keeping the bots now? I don't play an engineer, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what better bot AI means, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and they're looking into the future. They're just kind of speculating, hey, we're going to look at tanks a little more. There's not much else to them. But what about Espers, Indigo? Krug, yeah.
Cool. I was like, no, not me. Don't break on me on that one.
We're going to change it up.
We're going to mix it up here for number 10 on, yeah. Anyway, Krug, what's going on with Espers?
So it looks like they're starting to think about possible bonuses for standing still in both the assault and support abilities, which is great because that's, I think, the direction they were going when they made Telekinetic Strike and a bunch of other abilities castable while moving, that they were going to start rewarding Espers in their abilities and in their amps for standing still and, like, I don't know, being confident or, like, in your positioning choices. And so I'm really excited to see what they come up with. I don't think they gave any details on that, though, unfortunately, but I'm really excited to see what they are. It looks like superiority will see a change since the normalization's happening, and it made it really, really broken. And honestly, that's to be expected when you're doing changes like this. Like, if you're just going to say, okay, all items are the same, every ability is going to break. They have to change numbers across the board, I think. And it looks like Espers are getting their healing looked at in the future, mostly in amps and ability tiers being twerked, which is good. I always like to see healing getting changed because I don't think healing is strong enough in arenas, but don't tell anyone I said that because they'll get mad.
It used to be broke as hell.
Yeah.
And it kind of took a major hit with those healing changes that we all talked about. So now they're going like, okay, we're going to look at it again. Personally, I like the fact that they are going to say, hey, right now, Espers kind of feel like Spellslinger 2.0. Not as much range, still annoying as fuck to play against PvP.
And because we have so much CC, it's great.
And they feel like they move around so much like Spellslingers now that I don't honestly see a difference if I'm not paying attention. But
right.
giving them an option to be a siege class, but not hindering them if they don't want to be, is a great idea to play with. Yeah, the game's all about mobility, but if you can position yourself right as an Esper, why not take advantage of that?
Or if your team can be coordinated enough to keep people off of you, like, and reward you for having this, like, guarded siege cannon in the back that's just like raining hellfire down on the enemy. Ugh. I'm excited to see what that does to like really coordinated group play.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is the fact that Spellslingers now have more abilities that cause them to have to stay still to use than Espers, and Espers was touted as the traditional old-school MMO-esque kind of still casting a spell. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, man, changes happen. Get on the...
Hey, I'm on the train. I have an Esper. I enjoy playing it. I just thought it was funny as hell.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, too. I'm like, this is... Now it kind of feels like Protect the Kogma if it's done right, if you play League of Legends. You have this guy who's a siege tank, essentially, in the back, and you're like, oh, God, don't have anybody touch him. He's going to break. So an Esper with the ability to use proper positioning will really benefit from these changes upcoming. And it's going to be pretty cool to see who is as good as they say they are. Especially in arenas and battlegrounds, and who can pull really good DPS in raids where you're moving around like a madman.
I think it would be really interesting to have the mechanic be like Wally Esper standing still, they get like super damage mitigation, so they're not a glass cannon, they're like a steel cannon while they're standing still. But if they move, they lose all of it. So if they get to a point where they're being attacked so hard that they have to move, they're just dead. And so basically it's the team responsibility to keep like all the damage going to the Esper at a minimum, because they can take a few hits, but if you let too much go through and they have to move, done, game over, Esper's dead. But
worst,
I mean,
flag carrier ever.
Yeah. Don't worry guys, I got this. Why are you standing still? I'll kill them all.
The flag would just like crush them. It would just be, oh, it's too heavy, squish.
And what's going on with medics?
Medics are so exciting. I love these changes so much. So first things first, it looks like the field changes are going to be coming with the next patch that we talked about last podcast, two podcasts ago.
Yeah,
those are really exciting. I can't wait to see those in game. Now, new things. Paralytic Surge got torqued to a 25-second cooldown, which is awesome. That's our one interrupt armor removing ability, and it was on a 30-second cooldown previously, and now it's down to 25, and that's without the cooldown reduction amps, and that's awesome.
Even better, every time we get interrupted, it goes in even further. Yeah, the amp.
Right.
Just like that.
That amp that I don't use, that I probably won't use until it gets changed. And now that I just said that that's our one interrupt armor removing ability, I'm going to take it back and say Magnetic Lockdown is now an instant cast and will also remove one interrupt armor. And it's off global cooldown, which is cool. Awesome. That ability is now useful. Recycler will have 100% chance to trigger on crits with Gamma Rays and Quantum Cascade, but get a 2-second cooldown. I'm not really sure about that change. I don't really know how that works out mathematically because I'm not good at like getting those calculations out and making them correct. But I'm really excited as to what theory crafters have to say about that one. Crisis Wave. Okay, this is by far my favorite because I think personally Crisis Wave is useless. Crisis Wave will get a larger focus cost, but more healing. It'll prioritize players with more missing health. I think all healing abilities should do that, but whatever. And the tier 4 can be cast every 8 seconds for no actuator cost. And the tier 8 will give more healing to allies under 30% health. So Crisis Wave is supposed to be like the big burst heal that's really awesome. But it's really slow to cast. And it only does about 100% more healing than Flash. And Flash doesn't really do that much. So it's kind of useless, basically. Like, Mending Probe's Flash is way better than Crisis Wave. So if they buff Crisis Wave enough and make it a really, like, legitimate, holy crap, the tank's at, like, no health, I need to get him back up to 75, Crisis Wave, and you're there, that would be useful. And I think that's where they're going with that ability. Empowering Aura is going to go into the hybrid slash utility tree to give more variation to both DPS and healing builds. Meh. Okay. Cool.
I think that one's just to give them more options.
Yeah.
And not have to actually impact DPS's damage too much.
And I feel like I've seen this being talked about before. And I mean, props to people who use that ability or that amp. Healing amps are going to get a balance comparable to Reboot, which is great. The Reboot amp is one that affects Shield Surge and Barrier, I believe, and it basically modifies how much shield healing they do after a certain variable, and it's a lot. It changes those abilities from being good to being great, The healing amps, on the other hand, have never really done that for any of the healing abilities, and hopefully this change will make those amps more useful. DualShock is getting an actuator cost. Okay. Cool, I don't use DualShock, so good times. Triage, finally they're touching Triage, the like most useless ability on the medic ability sets.
All these abilities talking about, I have not really seen a whole lot being used, so it's kind of interesting to see if they're going to be used even more now.
Well, Crisis Wave is used on a regular basis, and Recycler is used in every DPS build, period. Like, if you don't have Recycler, you're silly. And Paralytic Surge is the one stun we have. But other than that, a lot of these abilities don't get used. So Triage is going to get a longer cooldown, but much better output, quote-unquote, so we'll see how that goes. It will also trigger the reboot amp, which is the amp we were talking about before that modifies shield healing. And it's going to swap, they're going to swap the tier 8 and the tier 4 of the ability. So tier 4 is going to be additional healing, and tier 8 is going to be one actuator every 3 casts. I don't think the tier 8 is going to be that useful if they're increasing the cooldown, because like the cooldown for Triage before was 5 seconds or something. So you could cast it really quickly and get actuators. Not that I ever used it. But now that they're increasing the cooldown, I think the tier 8 is going to be much less useful, and I think they'll probably end up swapping that out for something else down the road. Shield Surge, tier 8 is going to get replaced with something else that most likely will increase damage if the medic is above 50% shields. That's exciting, but not confirmed. I hope they go somewhere down that road, because managing Shield Surge in a DPS situation is really difficult when you have other players near you. And they stated that about all these changes, their main goal is to diversify the medic, as the Carbine team feels that they're in a great place numbers-wise. So they're just trying to get more options out to the medic as far as how they do. Because really, there's one DPS build that's viable and maybe 2 or 3 healing builds that are viable. I think they're trying to increase that number a little bit.
I do like the fact that medic has been getting a lot of vocal. People are being much more vocal about it online, and they're taking a look at it. And I like the fact that's actually happening to this class, because it seemed like it needed, like you were saying, it needed a lot of help outside of like a 1v1 duel where you just never died. But yeah. I didn't see anything else happening but the same 2-3 spells.
I will say, I can get top DPS in groups now. That's something I was never able to do before, and I recently started doing DPS medic. I can actually do DPS.
And in general, there are more medics in the game now. I didn't see them as much, but it's pretty cool to see a more diverse teams and more diverse crews coming through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not just medic healers, because I saw medic healers on a regular basis, but medic deeps. Got to get that deeps.
True. Is that it for medics? It's a huge-ass list.
Yeah. Sorry. I thought it was all really important.
Oh, no, it was. There's a lot of cool changes. Stuff happening.
I apologize if you don't play medic, because that was probably really confusing and boring to you.
Yes, they got better. Here they got better. What's happening now?
All right, Spellslinger time?
Yeah, I'll take over. I mean, there's a few things that have changed Spellslingers, and they're to address one or two big issues with them that are, I guess, their complaints. I never cared about that much, but charge shot, you're going to have more damage, but it's going to build over time. So it's going to be more beneficial to you if you wait to hold off on that shot than just boom, a really quick cast. Not a big deal, I don't think. It's cool to get a damage boost, and it's going to be patient with this since we're pretty much like, oh my god, kill all things fast as we can. It'd be worth it to wait another half second. Rapid Fire Tier 4 is going to be the current Tier 8. We're going to get a new Tier 8 for that, but they're not saying what at the moment. Flame Burst is now going to be castable while casting, which is super cool. It's just going to increase your sustained DPS, which is nice. And it can go on cooldown quicker, throw in trigger fingers, and now you're back up, constantly flame bursting stuff. Crit. It's beautiful.
Yeah, Medic got a twerk like that recently where you can cast Atomize while you're casting, and I started using it, and I put my Atomize right next to my gun rays, or gamma rays, right next to my gamma rays on my mouse, and so I can just like roll over and hit Atomize, and it's like the best change ever. I didn't think it would be that good. It's like literally my favorite change now.
It's and I like the fact that Flame Burst just is now following suit, which means you're going to have more options to cast stuff and watch your pop-ups. Like, oh my god, it's time to cast more Flame Burst. Yeah! Arcane Missiles is now going to be mobile, and the Tier 4 is going to restore 5 spell power on hit. It's going to get a new Tier 8. They haven't said what yet. I don't use Arcane Missiles, personally. I've seen other Spellslingers use it. I don't see it as beneficial for me, maybe for raids, but cool, it's getting this change. Ignite and True Shot are also getting twerked, but they're not saying what it is that's happening to them yet. The team did say, though, that the Heal Slingers are getting twerks, but in the future, But right now, they're just trying to address what they see as the current issue of, hey, Spellslingers have insane burst damage, but once the burst is done, they kind of fall off like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they really do. So their goal is to not make all of their fights 5 seconds long, and if not, they're dead. Their goal is to make them with stuff like Flame Burst and Arcane Missiles and having Charge Shot be more patient in the way you're using it. They're trying to make sure that Spellslingers aren't just blowing their load and then waiting for their surge to come back and then blowing it again. Okay, it's only dirty if you laugh at it.
No, it's only dirty if you say blow your load. That's what makes it dirty. I didn't think about
that until you said it.
Yes, you did.
We're never going to have a serious podcast, so let's just be honest here. But man, now that I think of it, you're right. It's dirty.
Yeah, it is dirty.
I had to think about it.
No, you did it. You're just being innocent and coy. You knew exactly what you were saying. Don't lie.
And that's
really, in what other context does blow your load stand for?
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
No, you're right. You're right.
Called it.
And that's called it. That's pretty much it for Spellslingers. And what's going on with Stalkers, Indigo?
Oh, the best.
Stalkers will all be deleted from the game, and their players will be banned.
Dude, you don't even understand the amount of pain you're going to be going through right now.
All right, give it to us, dude.
Neutralize and Rune has been twerked to do more damage. Neutralize will stack less, but in Tier 4 and Tier 8 will increase your damage output. So, way more damage. Awesome. Cool. Pain. Cool with that one.
Pain, pain, pain.
Bloodthirst has also been twerked to get base damage increase as well as lifesteal, which I think is what allows me to get higher heals as a tank. Anyways.
Hey, remember that time I left the podcast? Pretty sure that's about to happen again.
As well as they're going to rework the Tier 4 and Tier 8 on that. This is the thing that I'm most excited about, though. So,
yeah, this is a really good one.
I have complained multiple times on this podcast that the only CC break that Stalkers have causes you to flip back, causes you to insta-stealth, and lose 100% threat. Well, you can't do that as a tank. And since Stalkers...
Well, not as a good tank.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, see that medic? Why don't you go attack him for a little while?
Hey, guys. I'm going to stealth, so wipe.
Yeah. So... They've finally done it. Stim Drone will now be a CC break at base tier. That's oh nice. My god, yes. That's I'm so applauding. Exciting.
Good job.
It was way needed. I'm sorry. It just makes me so happy. Brutality Master will be twerked since normalization broke it. I think that was Spellslingers. No. It was Medics had the same kind of thing. And then future tanks will get worked on and further improvements with amps and a whole bunch of other stuff, but they haven't really gone into details with the tank stuff.
Cool.
Nice.
But that's it for Stalkers. Do you want me to go over Warrior or do you want to do
it,
Doc?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, okay. So we've already talked about the changes that are going to go with Jolt and Shield Burst and Atomic Spree. So I'm not going to go over that stuff. But Ripsaw has been is getting more consistent damage as well as the higher tiers. So I use Ripsaw on my war. I'm not a huge fan of it. It's just kind of a quick little like it's not even worth putting on my bar, but whatever.
It's a quick little what?
It's a quick little snare. It's not bad. If you're PvPing, it gets replaced real quick once you get Festering Blade.
Yeah, it really does.
Right. Festering Blade is ridiculously awesome.
Oh, I love Festering Blade.
I've never even played Warrior, but one of our guildies was reading the amp, and we were on vent, and he was like, is this right? And we're like, what? And he's like, this amp says that you do a like 25% snare for every hit.
And, well, every and that... three hits. If you keep the three hits going, it's
25%. Oh, is it every three hits?
It's 8% snare every single time you hit. It stacks three times.
For the amp?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the amp is just a flat snare.
No, it's 8% snare every time you hit, stacks three times. I know that for a fact because I'll run in there, I will bum rush in there, pop my defensive ult in PvP, and just put in a quarter snare on like eight people as all their whole backline runs away going, oh my god, why is he here?
That's funny. But yeah, he was just really surprised, and then he started using it in PvP, and he was like, oh my god, this is the best amp ever. Nobody can get away from me.
No, it's true.
But Savage Strike is going back on global cooldown, and will have a higher cooldown in exchange for more damage. Tier 4 will now be rolled into basic tier.
Oh, that's nice.
Whirlwind will get twerked for more damage, which seems like a all-around increase for everyone, or is that just me? I just kind of saw, everyone's doing more damage! Woo! Party!
Pretty much. I think that normalization just said, everyone gets more damage except for Whirlwind. I'm just kidding.
And then, again, more tanking stuff to come in the future, which I saw that with the Engineer, I saw that with the Stalker, and I saw that with the Warrior. So I'm going to say that we're going to see a really, really big tank update coming up really, really soon.
Yeah, and I will say, out of all the abilities in the game, Whirlwind, personally, is probably some of the most gratifying spell to cast. You're just watching yourself just a swath of damage throughout the field.
Yeah, I'll say it again. I know I said this before. I think Whirlwind is one of the abilities that has the most potential to get way out of hand.
Oh, yeah.
As far as being OP. So the fact that they're giving it more damage, hopefully they just don't put it over the top and make it
insta-gib
everyone in this huge radius. Yeah, I am thinking PvP specific.
Well, then, it'll be really nice to have that option in trash fights, base pop fights for raids and dungeons. So I'll take it. I like playing Whirlwind, even if it's lackluster at the moment.
Yeah,
it does feel... that's a big part of how I pick abilities, is how they make me feel when I cast them. I know. I'm not being a good MMO player and min-maxing and doing the things that make me the strongest. Like a natural woman.
Like a natural warrior.
This is kind of a really awesome transition that honestly was not planned. But, okay, do either of you have any female alt characters? Like, have you created a character that was female?
Actually,
I think that's
weird. I do. Calamity is my warrior.
Okay, so I also made a female warrior, and Krug brought up the reason he chooses abilities, how it makes him feel. Mm-hmm. I chose to be a female draken for my warrior.
Because of the way it makes
you feel? No, because I like the way the armor looks specifically on them. But
them horns.
Yeah. No, I
he would be into that.
The thing that made me laugh is that I noticed this. All of the armor for women, at least in low level, are all shorts. I don't get that.
I don't get that either.
Like, I'm running around like, yeah, get more armor. Click. Why did my pants turn into booty shorts? Like, what the fuck?
I was a tank. I thought I was supposed to wear a heavy ass suit of armor and swing around a giant ass sword. And I'm sitting there going, who likes short shorts? Oh, I'm dead.
Mind you, I say this, but my girlfriend has said on multiple occasions when she switches armor, she goes, damn it, I want my shorts back.
At least that's what costumes are for. I will say this, though. We made a comment the other day about how some of the armor looks kind of odd on the female bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I still like the fact that if you're going to be a heavy armor wearing female character in a game, you look like you're wearing heavy armor. Mm-hmm. Instead of, say, Aeon, where it's just boob window. Look at my cleavage.
Boob window.
Boob window.
That's basically what it window. Is.
Pretty much. And granted, I'm a guy. Sometimes it's kind of cool to look at an image and go, ooh, boobies. Okay. But even then, it doesn't make any sense to be in a space combat game and have a giant window or like midriff. Bare arms. Okay. Aesthetically, I get it. I'm cool with that. Sensible armor I always love the most, especially on female characters, because it makes you feel, and I a lot of women will probably agree with me on this, I hope, or I think, if I'm playing a guy character and I'm all jacked up with badass armor, I feel pretty awesome. And I like playing female characters because they're fun to play with. I like the way they look as well. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I'm being serious. I've rolled a lot of female characters in the games because, to me, it's just a character. I'm not sitting there projecting a perversion on it. And I never understood, I guess because I try to design characters, why you would wear this type of armor if the line of work you're in is so perilous that you're not going to wear something that would protect you or something that makes it sensible.
Well, so. I think it stems from like the whole sex sells mentality.
Oh yeah, but totally. Like if
me
you watch
personally,
the old, like Conan stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's across the entertainment industry, whether it's video games or movies or whatever. But me personally, and I feel like I'm the only one who does this, I really enjoy customizing my character and making him look the way I want to. But when it's actual gameplay time, I'm looking at my telegraphs, I'm looking at other people's telegraphs, I'm looking at nameplates.
Yeah.
I don't look at characters. Like, I don't do that. I don't know if I'm the only one. Like, do you guys actually take time to take in what other people look like while you're actually playing the game?
Yeah, right before we go into a PvP and we're all standing at that door, I'm like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. But once the game, like once those doors open, nope. Oh, he's red. Click, 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 click. Oh, he's red. Click, click.
Yeah. I noticed that in this game where I will look at it before the calm before the storm. Like I'll zoom in first person mode and go like, oh,
yeah.
Shua's got some pretty cool armor. Or this girl character purposely has a scantily clad costume. I wonder how you got that because I don't see a whole lot of that. I'm really curious.
Sure.
But once the doors open, I'm like, I kill everything that moves. It's all red. But I think it's because of the attention you have to give to the game. Other games, you can literally zoom in first person view and everything's targeted. So you're like, click, 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 click. Oh, it's a cool breastplate. Click, click, click. Oh, I wonder how I got those pants. Click, 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 click. Is this guy dead yet? Click, 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 click. That's what it feels like to me. And I had a lot of time in other games as vanity projects looking at my character going, oh, what kind of armor does this look like? Here, I'm just like, okay, I want to look kind of like this. But once I'm down and in the dirty, I want to be a badass looking guy, girl, Chua, Auron. And so, I mean, I appreciate games that if this is the aesthetic of the universe and you're going to be dangerous, even taking yourself not too seriously, to still look like a fucking badass when you want to, or to be as sexual as you want to, because there is some sexy male armor in there. There is.
Well, we learned something about Doc today.
That yeah, I can appreciate beauty in all its forms.
There's this great male armor that has a nutsack window. It's the weirdest thing.
Gender equality. If females have cleavage windows, men have nutsack windows.
We are now an
NC-17 podcast. If you are under the age of 21, please discontinue listening. Actually, please don't.
Or just don't tell your parents.
Wow. That sounds creepy.
Yeah,
that's not illegal.
Not saying I condone it.
Oh, we should cut that out so badly.
Yeah,
nope.
Nope. Hey, guess what? Who's editing the podcast?
Oh, that's funny.
I will say I do like the fact that we talked about it a little bit because as a game designer, I liked the fact that if I wanted to have a Conan-style universe, fine. Everyone's half naked. Let me see boobies fly. Let me see nutsacks flopping around. But if I'm in a sci-fi MMO where
you know phrase things better,
more,
dude.
No, that was on purpose. Really muscling, like just busting biceps and pectoral muscles. Raw. Okay, cool. If that's the world I'm in, I'm cool with that. If I'm in a sci-fi MMO where I'm going into space and I'm taking down huge mutated strains, I'd be like, cover me the fuck up everywhere. I saw what happened in Alien. I don't want that to happen to me in game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's, yeah.
Well, I think it's time to go on to our add-on section, which will be the first time we'll actually be doing it this way.
Yeah.
The I'm first excited. Time we'll actually be doing it correctly.
Well, correctly, I think, is based off of the audience. And if they turn around and say, fair. Dude, guys, go back to the old way. This was shit. Then I'm going to say, no, it wasn't the right way.
Well, we do like to say we try to be professional. So this is one step towards it. As we talked about nut sacks and boob windows and NC-17.
Consummate professionals.
So this week we tried an add-on called T-Loot.
Yes.
And that is the letter T-L-O-O-T. So not T-E-A. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, it sounds kind of
I did look for T-E-A loot.
You would.
T-Loot?
You totally would.
I was like, maybe it's a relaxing app.
I don't even have a comeback for that. It's just what? Really? Okay, so what T-Loot does, it's going to replace the need greed pass loot window that normally pops up when an item above a white quality shows up on your screen. And so what their goal was is to make it more intuitive as well as attractive and non-obtrusive. And personally in that goal, I think it hit the mark really, really well. So right now in game, if you use T-Loot, what happens is once a blue item, purple, orange, pink shows up, It'll have a bar. It'll have an icon that shows the kind of loot it is, the preview icon. And it'll have three icons. It'll have the dice for need. It'll have the gold pieces for greed. And it'll have the cross out for pass. What it actually does, too, on top of that, is on each of those icons, it'll tell you how many people are needing it, greeting it, and passing it. And when you hover over it, it'll still give you the stats of the item. On top of, when you go to the need, greed, pass, it'll tell you who actually needed it, who greeted, and who passed. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that feature.
It's quick. I like minimalist looks, and I like icons. So having that really be out of the way, and I can move around wherever I want, I like the aesthetic of it, and the fact that you can edit it pretty quickly to your own UI tastes was pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, we all, like we said, we all downloaded this one. I like it because I'm able to clean out my chat window a lot better, so I can turn around and go to my chat window, say, don't show these items. So now it's just going to be conversation, pertinent information that's actually happening right then and there. So it's not like, hey, how's it going? Enter, and then everyone's loot roll. And my conversation piece gets bumped completely off the chat loop. So that's going to be really nice and helpful. I really do like the fact that you can resize it, and it's really, really simple to change. It's just a slide bar. There was one problem I had with it, and you guys let me know what your guys' opinion on that was, but I would have really loved if the app existed without a header bar. So right now it's got the header bar that says T-Loot, and then it's got the exit, the option, and then below it is where it populates the information and then disappears. I have so much shit on my screen already that just kind of adds to the constant crap that I have on my screen. So being able to not have that but still have the option of the need, greed, and loot, I think would be a really, really awesome addition to it. But other than that, I really, really love the add-on.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I wish that the header was on hover, or only if you put in your options, it would show up, and then it would show you the box. Kind of like how Icon Loot does it, where it doesn't show you anything else, just the items, until you go into options to fix it. And then it tells you, hey, this is the boundaries we're dealing with, and this is the icons for it. If it did something like that, I would appreciate that much more. You're right. It gets kind of cluttery if you have a ton of action or a smaller screen, or a bunch of add-ons. Funny, you said that it took the space away from your chat window. They didn't do that for me.
Oh, no. It doesn't do it defaultly. You have to go in chat, chat up. But what I'm saying is that because I'm able to hover over and physically see the number of needs, greeds, or pass, I don't have to read the chat window to see, okay, this one crafting item, because it's every dungeon that you go into, that first crafting item, that logic of water or whatever, you have to look over in the window and go, okay, is this a group that needs or is this a group that greeds on those items? Because some people will need on those, and you're like, okay, they're needing that one. And then the second one pops up and they're needing again. Well, I would like to get an opportunity to get those as well, because I do RuneCraft as well. So I'm going to start needing as well. And not having to constantly search through the chat log to see, okay, they needed, they looted, they greed.
Yeah.
And then physically seeing a number, oh, two people have needed on that. Okay, I need to need on that as well.
Yeah.
That's what I was more referring to. You have to go into the chat window yourself and change.
So you should look into it. I did notice that when you go into the options window for it, you do have an option for hotkeying for need, greed, and pass.
Yes.
But there's kind of a catch. The default key bindings for it are N, G, and P, which are currently used in the game. The N key by default opens up your queues for adventures and everything else. The G key opens up... there are some like warrior things
G is scan for scientists.
And for scan for scientists, so that'll get in the way and it doesn't override it. It'll do both. And P by default opens up your character page. So you can reassign the hotkeys, but if you enable them just off the bat, you're going to be doing two things at once and the game will not prioritize. So keep that in mind. I disabled all of them personally. I like clicking it. I'm cool with that. But for those of you guys that like to just fire forget on your keyboard, you'll have to spend like another 5-10 seconds just to rebind them to something not being used. Heads up on that.
I really like this add-on, but there were a couple features that I think are going to prevent me from using it as a full-on replacement for the need-greed system. And I was actually thinking of looking into some other alternatives that do a similar task. Something that I realized that I wanted after I downloaded this add-on, I didn't realize I wanted this before. I want to be able to see, like, on the screen who gets what for what reason instead of looking in my chat. So, for example, if three items populate in the loot distribution roles, you see all three of them, but when you click greed or when you click need, it disappears from your screen. So if you're the first person to click, you don't know who rolled what, how many people rolled whatever. I would prefer if it was persistent and it stayed on your screen until it was sent to someone. And then instead of just disappearing, if it could replace the item with, this item was rewarded to this person for rolling this number on need or greed. That's what I would prefer. And it doesn't do that. But there are some things that I like about this add-on. For example, the timers for each item show in the on the little line that the item populates on, so you can see how much time you have left to roll on each thing. So if you, for example, forgot to roll on something from a previous pull, you can go, oh, crap, I should roll on that first, and then roll on that. You can also roll in any order, so you don't have to do it in the order the game gives it to you. If you want to take more time to think about one thing and you just know what you want to do for the rest, you can do the rest and then think about your one item. And, yeah, other than that, it's pretty cool. I just wish I could have the little items stay on the screen until everyone's finished and then have it tell me without me looking in the chat, because I agree with Indigo, that's really annoying, who won it and why they won it.
I didn't think about it disappearing. I always liked the fact that it was out of sight, out of mind. I knew what I was doing, and if I didn't get it, okay, cool. If I did get it, I get an alert.
Yeah, and it's not like that information helps me at all, but I don't know. I just want to know. I don't know why.
I can see that having an option where it would gray out once you voted, and then if you got it, it would like have a gold aura real quick before it gave you an alert. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That way you can see what's going on with each one. Yeah, the fact you can roll or choose each roll in any order is really nice instead of having to wait 2 seconds for this and it disappears. Here's another one. Vote for this one. Okay, fine. Let's go. I like Fire and Forget, though. Once I click it, I can get back in the action. Having things stay and persistent bug me. So I guess that's a flavor thing.
Yeah. And honestly, aside from that, I'd totally recommend this add-on. Like, if the thing I just described doesn't bother you, totally get this add-on. It's great.
Now we talked about the add-on itself. How about, fittingly, and this will be our rating system, instead of going A+, 5.0, 10 stars, in the go. For T-Loot, is it a need, a greed, or a pass? Now, for reference, okay. A need means you need this add-on. Everyone needs this add-on. It's definitive. It'll make your gameplay better. Greed is going to be, yeah, I like it a lot. I'll most likely use it. If something better comes along, I'll drop it, no problem, or I'll weigh it out. And passes, not for me. It might work for you, but I'm good.
So for me, this is a very, very strong greed. If the current loot system isn't bugging you, then you don't have to have it. It's not a game changer, but it's definitely staying until something else comes along.
Nice. And Krug, need greed pass.
I'm on greed as well, specifically just for that one feature, and it's for me. I would say if you don't need that feature, the having items tell you who got them and why they got them thing that I described earlier, if that isn't something that interests you, I'd say this is a need totally.
Yeah, and I'm going to say need. I really do enjoy this app or add-on, even with the shortfalls I believe it has. Being able to declutter the screen, as much as I like the default UI, sometimes I feel like it's a little too blocky, and T-Loot's aesthetic and the way they present the information, however you choose to customize it, works so far and away better. I didn't think I actually needed this add-on until
major.
We...
Huh? I just said art major.
Yeah, fuck you. It's true. Aesthetics play a big part in this game. That's the reason why we play this game instead of something else. And for this add-on, I didn't honestly think I needed a loot roll add-on. When you guys brought it up to me, I was like, meh, I don't need it. But once we tried it, I was like, holy shit, this makes the game more attractive looking in my opinion. So for me, T-Loot is a need.
Oh, so we have... it kind of sounds pretty even. We have a need / greed from Krug, and then a greed from me, and a need from you. Huh.
Yeah.
No passes. It's definitely well implemented for what it is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And in its current state, it can only really get better. And it's really solid, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely. This week's add-on. We're going to put the link in the We're going to put the curse link in the comment section like we always do.
That was weird.
Man, right? I cannot speak tonight. I needed that cup of coffee so bad, and I'm glad it worked. And now it's starting to wear off.
I want to also share a photo. I know we haven't done this yet before.
Oh, yeah. I'm so down.
This week, we were running Nygma through some dungeons, and we had a player die and then go AFK. And so out of boredom, the three of us started just repeatedly rezzing him over and over and over again.
So you didn't kick him. You just tried to rez him still.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we knew he was still there, and we were kind of having a trouble finding groups anyways, but that's a different story.
And we weren't trying to silver it. We were just doing it.
Yeah, yeah, we were just doing it to do it. And so we just stood there and kept repeatedly trying to rez him, and we got this really awesome photo. So Nygma is a Chua, a Chua engineer.
He's going to get so mad at you for calling him a medic.
Either way, he and for some reason, the engineer's rezzing ability makes them hold their gun out and their fist up in the air like, yeah. And then right at the end of the rez, they go down and they're like, yes, America. Like, it's just the most ridiculous. Yes. Well, I was a spellslinger and Krug was his Esper. For some reason, the two of us get up really tall and put our hands out like a Thriller movie.
Jazz hands.
And just like, blah, I have come to rez you.
Yeah, like, we look like Dracula.
And so Nygma got this really, really awesome photo of the three of us rezzing him with me and Krug right behind him. And it's just, it's hilarious.
That's pretty fucking cool.
So we'll have to post that.
Yeah, we'll post that.
And definitely.
So we're kind of winding down for the week. I like all this has happened this whole week. It's been really cool. A lot of cool news coming out. Next week, you might want to keep yourself tuned into us. We might have a surprise for you.
Hopefully.
Just saying. And I think it's a big surprise. We're just coming back to episode 11 and doing a normal podcast.
We're not stopping. That's the surprise.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we're back. Can't get rid of us now. Ha ha. But yeah.
You're depressing sometimes.
I mean, hell, between us and This Week in Wildstar, a really cool YouTube podcast. They're really cool. Check them out. And, you know, all sorts of other ones. I'm glad you guys keep listening to us every week, and I appreciate that. So next week, we might have a very cool little present for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Good times.
But where can we be found online, Krug?
We have a Twitch that we stream on sometimes, and that is... We don't stream regularly. Not my fault.
We're working on it. We all have 9-to-5s.
There are a lot of things that go into streaming. I did not even realize. Fucking people who do that for a living, props to you. It is difficult. I imagine once you get everything, you know, working, it's not as difficult, but it's hard to get into. Anyways, we have a Twitch. If you want to follow us on Twitch, we are Strange Tales. Twitter, we are also at Strange Tales. Please follow us on Twitter. I love talking to people on Twitter, as I said at the beginning of the podcast. So follow us on Twitter and chat me up. Also have a Facebook. We are Strange Tales from Outer Space. And you can find us on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, Strange Tales from Outer Space, both of those places.
If there are any big podcasting sites that you use that you don't get us on, you know, write to us. Let us know. Hey, are you guys on XYZ podcast app thingy? No, we will get on that.
Totally throw our podcast up wherever you want us to if it makes it more convenient for you.
We're going to flash our gams and go, hey, big boys, you need some more sci-fi in your life.
It's really not hard. We just don't know where to put stuff. So if you tell us where to put stuff, we'll put it there. You know what I mean, okay? Just don't go there, okay?
Too late. Right? Too late. Right? Too late.
I was talking about our podcast, okay? Don't. Do you have to be such a fuck?
But do we have to ask where we put it there, or you just say, fuck it, we're putting it
there? Oh my god, I hate you both. This is why you both are still on my rival list. I'm hoping that one day they're going to fix it, and I could just... backstab you right in the middle of Ilium.
Well, they'd have to fix two things. First of all, they'd have to fix that you can't actually attack us if we're your rivals. Second of all, they'd have to fix the fact that you suck at Wildstar.
Oh, shit, the gauntlet got thrown. Okay, well, Indigo, while you treat that sick burn, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter on IndigoJones_STR. I'm also on Reddit. I don't post very often. That is definitely Doc's realm of world. But, yeah, I have a Twitter account. You guys can hit me up. I also read through our email bag as well as through our Twitter feed as well.
Yeah, and as for me, I do lurk a lot on Reddit, but I'll post quite a bit on Wildstar. I try to anyway. I like the discussions, and I like the community when they're not being unnecessary asshats.
Wow.
It's true, man.
Now would you say that you lurk or that you troll?
I lurk. I don't really try to troll. I try to be more of a voice of reason. If what they're saying is right, I'll totally jump on that bandwagon and go, pitchforks. But if I don't see a need for it, I've always said no constructive criticism, then I'm on the opposite side going, look, try to think of it another way. But yeah, Hollowmosh. You can find me there. You can find me on Twitter, @Hollowmosh. I go through the Strange Tales email bag as well. That's strangetalesmailbag.gmail.com. Facebook, as always. And everything else. And gentlemen, I think that might be it for this installment.
I'm gonna good agree times. With you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the double digits, baby.
Woo! Ooh, big time.
Good. It's only who's getting better cigar? From here. Onward to number 20.
<Da-da-da-da>.
This is the cast of Strange Tales of Outer Space. I'm Doc.
I'm Indigo.
And I'm Karoo.
And you guys have a good time. Goodbye.
Bye.